Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But the battle for survival of Western civilization is going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. The views of our guests, and this afternoon our guest is Lieutenant Colonel Bob Bowman. We're talking about what happened on 9-1-1. Those of you who remember, we've had Dr. Colonel Bowman on before. He was running for Congress down in Florida, and he won the primary there. And, of course, he got absolutely no help from his political party because they didn't want somebody going in there. He was running as a Democrat, but he got no help from the Democratic Party. They didn't want somebody who was going to go in and really try to get anything accomplished. They want somebody who's going to go along with the flow, go along with the party leadership. And the last thing that the party leadership, the Democrat Party leadership, wants to do would be to have, you know, an independent investigation of what really happened on 9-1, or consider bringing the people who allowed almost 3,000 Americans to die, bringing them before the bar of justice, because somebody's responsible. And we dishonor those who died if we don't try to find out who it was. Because, of course, if you really look at it, you see what happened. There is no way that this could have happened, and the 19 hijackers could have hijacked four planes without having some very, very specific help from people highly placed in our government who knew the attack was coming and did not try to stop it, or were involved even more intimately. Colonel Bowman, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back with you.
All right, fine. And even though you lost the election, I don't suppose that's going to slow you down at all as far as trying to get the truth out, is it?
Not a bit. As a matter of fact, election day was November 7th, and on the 9th I left to go up from Florida to Washington, D.C., and on the 11th I addressed the 9/11 Truth Conference put in on by D.C., 9/11 Truth at George Mason University in Arlington, Virginia.
And what sort of a crowd did you have out?
Oh, there were several hundred. It was a very good crowd.
All right, fine. Well, I think that there's a growing awareness, but I think we have to put things into their clear perspective. And one of the big questions I've always had, and maybe you can help me, but why wasn't there any protection for our nation's capital? Now, it's totally illogical, knowing full well that there an attack was coming, because certainly, you know, a lot of things, a lot of our military bases were alert, but that there were no planes at Andrews Air Force Base, and the planes that were at Langley, supposedly only two of them, and then instead of sending them over the 100 miles directly to Washington, D.C. to protect our nation's capital, they sent them out over the Atlantic Ocean, and then when the whatever it was hit the Pentagon, hit it, those planes were 150 miles away from the nation's capital than they were. They were 50 miles further away than when they started. How could that have happened?
Well, that's one of the hundreds of unanswered questions. And the one that I use with the people in Congress and those who aren't willing to admit that somebody in the government was involved, what I say is, how come? If the government's story is essentially correct, we know it's not correct, but if it's essentially correct, how come our multi-trillion dollar defense establishment was unable to protect even its own headquarters from an unarmed airplane? And since there has been no responsibility, no accountability, how do we know that these things can't happen again? What has changed? And so that by itself should be sufficient to get a new investigation, even supported by those people who don't think it was an inside job.
Hold on, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Lieutenant Colonel Bob Bowman, who is a Air Force fighter pilot. He flew well over 100 combat missions in Vietnam, and he's a dedicated American who's dedicated his life to defending this country. And he is still trying to defend our country, even though he's long since retired. In fact, he recently ran for office in Florida and actually did very, very well in the election, but he got absolutely no help from the Democratic Party. He was running as a Democrat, but he was really running for trying to get people into Congress who would try to find out what happened on September 11th. Now, we are told that 19 hijackers hijacked four planes, and we are told that the two of them crashed into one into the North Tower and one into the South Tower. And then we're told that one of them crashed into the Pentagon. And one of them crashed in Pennsylvania after a fierce fight when the passengers actually charged the people in the cockpit, the hijackers. The trouble with that story is that if the plane nosed down and crashed into the ground, why was there something like 8 miles of wreckage all over the surrounding area, and one of the engines was a couple of miles away? How could that happen? Do you think it really bounced that far? Have we been told the truth? And remember, if the government lied about one thing, then there's nothing that you could possibly believe that they're going to say that they're not lying about again. You put somebody on the stand and you lie to them. Why, of course, if they lie to you and to the jury, you just don't trust them. You don't trust what they say in the future. And there's so many things that we are just not being told. And, of course, the biggest thing is most of the information dealing with what happened on 9/11 is still classified. It's top secret. And if you're in the military or you have any sort of a clearance and you were to tell that, you could go to prison for telling the American people what happened that day. Colonel, certainly, do you think a lot of people are just afraid to come out and admit what happened?
Well, sure, there's always that factor, but the fact of the matter is some people have come forward and said what happened, and the main press ignores them.
Well, now, who are you thinking of specifically?
Well, I'm thinking of the young man from MacDill Air Force Base who was inside the command center when 9/11 happened and heard the NORAD colonels say that they've been ordered to stand down,
all right,
for example.
And I think that this is absolutely certain. I want to get his name after the program. I'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we were just talking about the people who've come forward, and I have a number of people who've come, I can give the names of people who've come forward who have one or another part of the story. And when you begin seeing people like Jimmy Walters, who invested some $8 million of his own money running ads in New York City and running television and newspaper ads there, trying to convince people that there's no way that what we saw on television was real. And then, of course, his life is threatened repeatedly. They even put a big boulder on the top of his car, and he's hounded out of the country, and he's hiding in Europe someplace, or Mike Rupert, who wrote the book Crossing the Rubicon, and he's hiding in Venezuela at the present time, literally driven out of the country, and person after person who has spoken out on this, who's had death threats. And well, after a while, you begin wondering, if there's nothing to conceal, why are they threatening people who are coming forward? Have you run into the same story, Colonel?
Oh, sure. And that's one of the big points, and if they have nothing to hide, why are they hiding everything?
And why are they hiding? Why are they threatening people and playing these little games to intimidate them and frighten them to death?
Yeah. And you were saying earlier about, if they've lied once, what else are they lying about? Well, Congressman Hamilton and Governor Kaine have admitted that they were lied to. And they were given an erroneous timeline by NORAD and the FAA, and that perjury was committed, and they had thought about doing something about it and wound up deciding not to, and the lies made their way into their final report. Now, they admit this. I talked to them a few weeks ago, and Governor Kaine, by the way, is incensed that what he feels is his most important conclusion was left out of the final 9/11 commission report.
Well, how could that be? He was the chairman of the commission. How could they leave out his most important position?
Because the co-chairmen, Kane and Hamilton, were sort of figureheads. The thing was run by Zelikow, the executive director, who was, of course, appointed by the White House and was a White House insider and ran the commission in order to protect the White House's official story.
In fact, he was a close friend of Condoleezza Rice.
Yep.
He had worked for Condoleezza Rice. He wrote a book with Condoleezza Rice. And you mean to tell me that he would really do an independent evaluation and investigation and come up with something against his very close friend? In fact, if you look up in Wikipedia under Philip Zelikow, Z-E-L-I-K-O-W, what does it say about him? He's an expert at creating myths. An expert at creating myths. And that's what the 9/11 Commission was. They spent a year and a half on a myth to confuse and mislead the American people. But you know, Colonel, one thing about this whole issue of the military lying, is that I wonder if this was really what the issue was. The important issue they left out is that on the morning of 9/11, they were holding military exercises that simulated hijacking of planes, and there's not one mention of that in the 9/11 Commission report or in the initial Joint Select Committee report.
Some of those exercises simulated hijacking airplanes and flying them into buildings, into high-value targets.
How could they keep that from the American people? I mean, we talk about so often all the unimportant things. It's almost like somebody's trying to divert us intentionally from the truth.
Well, it certainly appears that way, and that's why we need a truly independent commission, one that has oversight by Congress, by the 9/11 truth movement, and by the family.
And, of course, the last thing they want is an independent evaluation, because think of the implications.
Yes.
If it really came out that there were people within the government, I'm not saying who they were, I don't think the president knew ahead of time what was going to happen. You would never tell the president, but he certainly has not wanted to have an independent examination, so I think he suspects what happened. But think what it would mean. It would mean that some people would be tried for the murder of 3,000 Americans.
Right. Well, and, of course, in addition to that, if it hadn't been for 9/11, the government probably would not have been able to pull off an invasion of Iraq. They wouldn't have been able to get the American people in the Congress to sit by and let them do it. So they've been responsible for at least another 3,000 American lives and over 500,000 Iraqi lives.
And, of course, that is really what's so unconscionable. And, of course, you know, if you really read what these people are saying, the reason I like to read the books written by people like Keane and Hamilton is not because I trust them, because I really don't. But if you read their latest book, it's called Without Precedent, and I suggest you get it and read it and begin to look for the contradictions. But at one point on page 181, they say this. Rice pointed out, and this is Keane and Hamilton writing. Rice pointed out that the nation simply wasn't prepared to take dramatic action against Al-Qaeda before 9/11. And what had happened is, of course, that Jamie Gorelick had been saying, look, why didn't you, get the National Security Council together? Why didn't you try to take some preemptive action to try to prevent a terrorist attack? And Royce, and I'm quoting now, Rice pointed out that neither the nation simply wasn't prepared to take dramatic action against Al-Qaeda before 9/11, either abroad or in reforming government at home, and said, until there is a catastrophic event that forces people to think differently, that forces people to overcome all customs and old cultures and old fears about domestic intelligence, you don't get that sort of change. What she's talking about is we needed a catastrophic event that would get people to think differently and would get them to be willing to accept increased government surveillance. And 9/11 sure did that, didn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, what are we going to do at this time, Colonel? How are we going to reach so many people, good people out there, who, you know, even though they have an uneasy feeling, do not want to believe that anything could be that evil, that there could be honest, there could be people who would say, well, the end justifies the means. We have to get to war in the Middle East. We need to be able to dominate that oil. If we don't dominate the oil, that oil, the oil prices are going to go up. It's going to have an impact on our economy. And 3,000 lives, isn't that
a
higher price?
Well, you know, ironically, I believe that the main reason they wanted to invade Iraq, of course, was for the 14 permanent military bases and a lot of other things. But the immediate objective of controlling the Iraqi oil was to keep it off the market so that they could drive oil prices up.
And, you know, you're the only person I've heard who said that, but that's exactly what happened. And so many people are saying, oh, we've got to go over there to get the prices down. No, we had to go over there to get the prices up.
Yeah, yeah.
And people just can't get their minds around that fact. And isn't it strange? We get in there, and when Saddam is in power, why, the oil is flowing freely. And when we get in there, my goodness, those oil lines are just blowing up all the time. And we had nothing we can do about it until we recently signed a treaty with Turkey to deliver them oil by pipeline. And then suddenly all the attacks on the Turkish pipeline stopped. And you have to ask yourself, how could that just suddenly happen when we want to deliver oil to Turkey, but of course not to the world market?
Yeah.
And there are just so many difficult things to understand. And, Colonel, I mean, from a military point of view, how could they have made such a mess out of what's going on in Iraq today?
Well, that's really hard to understand. Of course, Rumsfeld and the other chicken hawks in the Pentagon didn't listen to the professional military officers. They ignored military advice by going into Iraq in the first place. They ignored military advice by invading Iraq with about a third the number of troops that the military said it was going to take to successfully invade and then keep the peace. And then, of course, years later, they have been ignoring, until very recently, completely ignoring military advice when our generals were saying our troops are just targets, we've got to get out.
And, of course, I was really so proud that a number of our generals, I think at least eight of them, have either resigned or were going to retire anyway. And they've come out and they've been very critical. That's just so unusual. We haven't seen that in years past or in wars past.
Right. Well, you know, when we come back, I'd like to discuss for a minute my campaign and the upshot of that and what it means for the 9/11 Truth Movement.
Why don't you just go ahead and get started on that? So go right ahead.
Well,
what happened with your campaign?
It's interesting because, again, we didn't get a penny from the Democratic Party at any level, national, state, or local. And yet, and we were, every newspaper endorsed our opponent, calling me a conspiracy nut because of my association with the 9/11 Truth Movement. And we didn't take PAC money or lobbyist money, so we ran the campaign with just a little over $100,000. And yet we got more votes. We came closer to winning than any Democrat in the last decade, including Democrats who had held office, were extremely well known in the area, and spent seven times as much money as I did.
Well, I think that what this shows is that an awful lot of people out there know something is wrong. And
yep.
Some of the polls, 30-40% of the American people know we've been lied to. And I think that's amazing. And I think it's because of work by people like you and others. So, I mean, I think there's a tremendous amount to be enthused about. You must have been somewhat discouraged, and you must have been somewhat pleased and proud as well, though, weren't you?
Yeah, well, naturally, I was disappointed not to win. I wanted to win for everyone in the 9/11 Truth Movement, for all the people. We need someone in Congress to represent us, and every time we get someone there who's tuned in to 9/11 Truth, they get kicked out.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Colonel Bob Bowman. He's just saying that if you are in Congress and you simply point out that we need, you know, an independent investigation, that both the first and second investigations, the Joint Select Intelligence Committee report and the 911 Commission report, were actually censored by the Bush administration. And, of course, the whole thrust should have been to investigate the Bush administration and find out why nobody was punished, nobody was censored, nobody was fired, and, of course, why the president congratulated the CIA for a job well done. And so, but anybody who talks about that, they're going to become a target, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, have you had any harassment because of the positions you've taken?
Oh, certainly. The number biggest was from the newspapers. I did get a lot of hate mail, especially after my appearance on Hannity and Combs.
Oh, how was that? I bet that was an interesting challenge. How did that go?
Well, Hannity was his usual self, and he was so obnoxious that people that weren't his regular fans were totally turned off by him, and I think it helped our cause.
Well, I think I know how infuriating it is to be on there and to be attacked and vilified and demonized. I've been there myself. But, of course, you have to do it because you're not playing to Hannity and Holmes. You're not even playing to the people in the studio audience. You're playing to people across America. And if you come through as logical and friendly and, you know, and perhaps a little hurt because of the unfair criticism, you're just asking people to look at the facts. And why are you afraid to bring the things out? You can actually begin to affect a tremendous audience on something like Hannity and Holmes.
Yeah, I do believe so. That's why I've never turned anything down from any of those idiots.
All right, of course, I thought that your appearance, certainly on Alex Jones' program, the 9/11 Truth program, that was broadcast actually four times on C-SPAN, was really one of the turning points in this whole issue. And I think after that, an increasing number of people began to realize we've been lied to, and maybe this whole war in Afghanistan and Iraq and the coming war with Iran were all contrived and have nothing to do with what happened on that Tuesday morning. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there are so many unanswered questions out there. What are the primary things that you think that we need to hammer away at? What are the primary things that that you think that will really convince people that we have not been told the truth?
Well, the fact that Cain and Hamilton say they weren't told the truth, and the truth didn't make its way into their final report. That's one thing that you can stand with. Another is just to point out where is the responsibility? How come nobody took the fall for our military not even being able to protect the Pentagon from what they say was an unarmed airplane?
And, of course, the thing is, the most important thing is, where were the planes that were supposed to be at Andrews Air Force Base right after the attack? Why Andrews Air Force Base had a website, and it talked about the fighter squadrons were stationed there, and then it suddenly disappeared and never seen again.
Yep.
Where were the planes? There was one unarmed plane at Andrews Air Force Base that morning, and they knew there was an attack coming?
Yep.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Lieutenant Colonel Bob Bowman. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question, why, we'll be glad to take your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, you know, one of the things that there's a fascinating article in Vanity Fair magazine in September of this year. Have you had a chance to look at that, Colonel?
Oh, yes.
And, of course, one of the things was that the author of this article says he talked to the commander at Langley and asked him why, when the request first came in to put the planes in the air, why they didn't go up. And the reply was, well, we're afraid they'd run out of fuel. How would you respond to that?
Well, I can understand that if there wasn't a target for them to intercept at that time, But on the other hand, you know, when your higher headquarters says scramble the jets, you scramble the jets. And I don't think it's possible for that kind of independent judgment to be made at the local level.
Well, I mean, doesn't NORAD have the right to say scramble the jets and you do it? I mean, isn't this sort of done automatically?
That's my understanding, and of course, I was an interceptor pilot. I've done it. I know the drill. And historically, any time there was an airliner off course or out of communication or no transponder, you scrambled, period. No questions.
And my understanding was just done automatically. It didn't have to go through the president or the vice president or anything else. It was done automatically, and you didn't wait around arguing back and forth whether you ought to scramble or not. You did it, and you got the planes up. You found out what was going on.
Yeah. Now, it is true that a couple of months before 9/11, our government changed the rules.
All right, now what did they actually do then before 9/11? So the normal protocol was not followed.
What they did was put an order out saying that henceforth all requests for intercept by the military had to be personally approved by the Secretary of Defense. And, of course, even though everyone knew he was in the Pentagon on the morning of 9/11, somehow, conveniently, nobody knew exactly where he was.
Well, the other thing is, of course, that apparently that morning there were a couple of planes that got out of Otis Air Force Base, so how could they be launched if they had to go through Rumsfeld and nobody knew where he was? That was the question I've had.
Yeah, well, of course, eventually they located Rumsfeld, but I don't know if they followed those stupid procedures or not.
But, of course, before that, you could go ahead and do what had to be done automatically. And now suddenly, why, when they know and they're well aware of the fact that there is a threat of a terrorist attack in America that's going to involve hijackings, because that was in the August 6th presidential daily briefing,
right.
Why would they change this and suddenly you can't have an automatic effort to protect America? You've got to go through the Secretary of Defense.
I have no idea, and that's one of the questions that ought to be asked by an independent investigation, and they ought to chase that down until they found the origin of that particular change in policy and who ordered it and why.
And I think there's so many unanswered questions, and nobody wants to ask them because, of course, it's such a disquieting thing that to think that something like this could have been perhaps done, as certainly had happened with the Gulf of Tonkin incident, has been done with the Zimmerman letter in the First World War, or even the attack on Pearl Harbor in the Second World War, and anybody who's ever studied that realizes they knew the attack was coming, and they left those men there to die. But you needed an incident to get us into World War I. You needed an incident to get us into the Spanish-American War. You needed an incident to get us into World War II. You needed an incident to get us into Vietnam.
Yep.
And now they need an incident to get us into this war in the Middle East because the American people didn't want to go to war.
That's right.
And 9/11 was that incident. So is it possible we've not been told the truth? And
well, we know we haven't been told the truth. The only question is, how bad really is the truth?
Well, I think that there's some people who would say the American people could not accept the truth. I don't believe that. I think we have to get them to see the truth. Because, of course, if we don't see the truth, I don't believe that America is going to survive as a free nation. I think we're going to be plunged into a war with Iran, and heaven help us.
Yep.
Well, we'll be back in just a moment here. We'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Arthur Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Lieutenant Colonel Bob Bowman. And Chris, he's is a member. Are you a member of the 911 Truth Committee as such?
Yes, I am. I'm a member of 9/11 Scholars for Truth and 9/11 Veterans for Truth.
Certainly that 9/11 Scholars for Truth, that's the one that that does, Professor Stephen Jones is working with, isn't it?
Right. Stephen Jones, Jim Fetzer, Webster Tarpley.
And, of course, you know, it's really, going up on the website, it's a little hard to find their information. Could you tell our listeners where they can get the information that from the 9/11 Scholars for Truth?
Well, I think they have a website, but actually there's been a lot of infighting in the 9/11 Truth movement lately, which I deplore. You've got people in the movement pointing fingers and calling names at others in the movement. And, I mean, some believe that there were planes that hit the towers, and some believe it was holograms, and they're calling each other names. And I think this is horrible. And we're not going to get at the truth this way, and we're not going to convince the American people if we do come across as a bunch of nuts.
Well, of course, don't you think that probably they have people planted in the 911 Truth Movement pretending to be conservatives and patriots who are there simply to create problems? Because I know I've been in this movement for movement for 44 years. I've seen this pattern over and over again in Christian organizations and in conservative organizations and in Republican organizations. And they have their agents out there for one purpose, and that's to create discord and to discredit the people who are trying to tell the public what's really going on.
Yeah, I think that's quite possible. But at the same time, I think people are too quick to call others agent provocateurs and so forth, because I feel that there can be honest disagreements within the movement over the details. And what I try to tell the 9/11 Truth Movement, and I did so at this last conference in D.C., is that we should not be in the business of trying to prove what hit the Pentagon, or if there were airplanes that hit the towers, or if they weren't. We shouldn't even be in the business of proving that Thermate brought down the towers, as much evidence as we think there is of it. The government has the responsibility to prove their official conspiracy theory.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with... Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Lieutenant Colonel Bob Bowman. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Colonel, do you have any sort of a website or you'd like to get out today?
Absolutely. www.bowman2006.com.
All right, fine.
And very shortly, it's going to be changed to bowman2008.com.
All right, fine. That's bowman2006.com, which, of course, the website of his campaign when he ran for Congress here just last month. I guess it was earlier this month we began to lose all track of time, don't we?
Right, right, just 2 weeks ago.
And, of course, Colonel Bowman is saying that there's a lot of infighting now in the 911 Truth Commission, and how much of this is planned, how much of this is ego, how much of this is an organized effort to plant people in the conservative movement and to disrupt them and to make them ineffective. And of course, I've commented, I've seen this repeatedly through the years in the conservative movement, in the anti-communist movement, in the Republican Party, yes, even, of course, within our Christian organizations. People planted there intentionally and purposely to disrupt and to divide and make them inactive. And, of course, how effective that entire thing is. I thought the Colonel's point is really very well made. It really doesn't matter what hit the Pentagon. And we may never know. I mean, the government has all the videotapes, and they won't release them. They've released two videotapes that show absolutely nothing. They have all sorts of other ones. And they release them, but there's nothing there. You can't see the plane. And so they said, well, we've released them. And they're playing games with our mind. Wouldn't you understand that? They have dozens of videotapes, and they're all were confiscated, and we can't see them. Why? Because they're playing games with our minds. And, of course, it really doesn't matter whether it was planes or holograms or something else that hit the Twin Towers. I'd rather think they were planes. I don't know. I know that so much of our reality is controlled by the people who control television, and we think we're seeing things, but the important thing is that Building 7 did not come down because it was hit by a plane.
That's right.
And so you talk about things that I think are really so self-evident, and one of them is Building 7 was a controlled implosion. All you need to do is go up and look at the pictures on the Internet. And as you see, the middle of the building began to implode, the roof of the building, and that's what they have to do to keep it from just falling outward. They have to implode the middle of it, and then the base of the building explodes. You know, this is 8.5 hours after the initial attack. You know this is a controlled explosion. They can't deny that, and even after 5 years with spending tens of millions of dollars on the investigation, they don't know why Building 7 came down, or they're not going to tell us why Building 7 came down. But, you know, the most interesting thing, Colonel, is that all of the information that they have in this special organization that did the 5-year investigation is classified. And if you see it, you have to promise you'll never tell anybody what you saw. So why 5 years after the attack and the buildings came down and all those people died, is all this information classified? Who are we trying to conceal the information from? Osama bin Laden, who's probably been dead for a couple of years, or the American people?
That's right, and that again plays to, if they have nothing to hide, why are they hiding everything? What is the legitimate reason for classifying anything with regard to that day?
Amen to that, and I think the American people have the right to know, and we need people in Congress and the Senate who will demand we have a right to know. Well, let's go to Ron, who's calling us from Arizona, and once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan, Colonel Bowman. My thoughts are the only way that we're going to force the administration, whether it's this one or the next one or whichever one in the future, to release the facts to get an investigation is to rally the people to such a point that the politicians feel compelled to do it. And I think one way of possibly doing that is to buy a DVD, a really good one, give it to your pastor for those of you who go to church, have him watch it, then if he's responds positively, ask him to play it at a video night, Friday or Saturday night for the whole church, and get the people informed, because I think the vast majority of the people, especially in the churches that I've been to, they don't know anything about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you're absolutely right. Ron, what's your favorite video? Which one do you think would be the most effective for the most people?
Well, that's just it. I haven't seen a lot of them because I'm broke, unemployed, don't have a car, don't have a home, and I'm not going to have any money for a few months, but I was interested in what you would recommend.
All right. What do you think, Colonel? Which one do you like the best?
For one thing, of course, a good one is Loose Change, too.
Excellent. Of course.
You can go to a library, use their computer, go on the Internet, and you can watch most of these videos for free.
Right, I know that. But to get one to the pastor, you'd have to buy one.
Sure, and I happen to like a 911 press for the truth. I think it's probably...
Yes, it is a very good one because it doesn't set up conspiracy theories that can be knocked down. It merely points out that we don't have the truth.
What about David Ray Griffin? Would you recommend that?
I actually haven't seen that one.
I've read his books, but I haven't seen a video by him.
I haven't actually seen it, Rhonda, so I can't comment on it.
But I know that you can get free DVDs, and anybody can reproduce these for the cost of the blank DVD and distribute them freely.
And I certainly encourage people to do that. It's just to make sure you got permission to duplicate them. But certainly many of the people who actually put them out, I know that certainly Alex Jones says, just go ahead and duplicate my DVD. And we do carry his. We think his Terrorstorm the DVD is excellent. Of course, we carry several of his other DVDs, and one of my favorites, truly favorites, is, of course, the story of the Bohemian Grove. But as far as this, my two favorite DVDs right now on 911, one is 911 Press for the Truth, and number two is Terrorstorm. They're entirely different. And Alex is a master showman. He does a great job. I think the other one may appeal a little bit more to some people. But, of course, if you want an overview of why Alex does a great job, what are your thoughts on that?
Also, the makers of Loose Change are coming out with Loose Change 3 pretty soon.
And I think that they're doing we owe them a real debt of gratitude. We know they're doing a great job because they're being so attacked and vilified.
Yeah. Right.
Anything else, Ron, before we
That sounds good to me. Thank you, gentlemen.
God bless you. Thanks. And I hope things work out for you and things get looking a little bit better.
I'm coming back to Orange County in about a month.
All right, fine.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye. That was Ron calling from Arizona. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Well, Colonel, one of the issues that I love to dwell on is I ask people to explain how that passport got out of the pocket of one of the hijackers in the plane that hit the North Tower. And it was got out of the flaming inferno there of the airplane, and then the flaming inferno on the of the North Tower, and then managed to just float down and land on the sidewalk a block and a half away from the crash site without even a mark on it. I thought that was the most amazing thing.
Certainly was. You'd almost think maybe it was planted.
Well, you know, if you can get people to begin to think, they did the same thing there at the, you know, at the Pennsylvania site. I mean, you had a crash that was so intense that it consumed the plane, it consumed all the passengers, it consumed everything in the plane, but one of the passports of one of the hijackers survived, although it was a little singed. But they even posted on the FBI website for a few days, and then I guess somebody figured maybe the American people really aren't that stupid, and so they pulled it down. But you know, it was up there, and we, you know, they still admit that the passport did survive that flaming inferno. And that these are just amazing coincidences. Statistically, I don't think they could occur.
Yeah, well, and why would the hijackers take their passports when their real names weren't even on the passenger manifest?
Well, there are a lot, many of these unanswered questions that neither one of the investigations has wanted to answer.
Right.
And of course, the thing is that both of those investigations, in my estimation, were cover-ups, and I do not believe, having read, you know, the staff report and most of the testimony before both of those commissions, that they were in the least bit interested in getting out the truth. I think that they wanted to give the American people think that something was going on, and it would keep them busy. We'll have the long, tedious, you know, testimony. But what most people don't understand, there's over 1,200 people that came forward and had something to say to the 911 commission, and the testimony of probably about 1,100 of those was sealed for 30 years. Why didn't they just publish it so people would know what they said? No, we have to seal it. We don't want Osama bin Laden to find out what these people said.
Yeah,
these were people who knew what was there, and I've talked with several of them. One of them is Peter Lance, who knew all about Operation Bojinka, which was the plan contrived in 1995 to hijack planes and crash them into the World Trade Center of the Pentagon. The government knew about that. They'd known about it going back to 1995. But although he testified in secret before the 911 commission, why did they seal his testimony for 30 years? And the same thing was true with certainly William Rodriguez. You probably know William Rodriguez, who was there and heard the explosion in the basement of the North Tower before the plane hit the top of the building up higher up. He testified before the 911 commission. And, of course, they sealed his testimony for 30 years. why not let the American people hear all the facts and
well,
decide
the answer
for themselves?
To that is very simple. They started with the assumption, or you may call it the conclusion, that 9/11 was the result of 19 Arab hijackers with box cutters directed by Osama bin Laden. And what the 9/11 Commission was supposed to do was to answer the question, how did they get away with it? What happened? What were the intelligence failures that caused us not to be able to prevent it? And any evidence which didn't fit that pattern and which seemed to contradict the official conspiracy theory of the 19 Arab hijackers was totally dismissed out of hand.
And yet I think that any investigation, you want to get all the facts. You do not go in with a preconceived notion because you might very well miss the killer.
Yep.
And in this instance, the people responsible for killing almost 3,000 Americans, you know, one of the most amazing things, and most people never mention this, is over 1,100 of the bodies of the victims who were killed in the Twin Towers and in the Pentagon and I don't know what Pennsylvania, but I know that over 1,100 of the bodies of the people who perished that day have never been found.
Yeah.
What happened to the bodies? I mean, nobody ever asked, what happened to the bodies? Were they vaporized? Well, of course, if we just got pancaking, one floor hitting another, would it vaporize the bodies? I mean, was there something else going on that we really don't know about? And nobody really wants to bring that fact out. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But, Colonel, you know, I think that, to me, the most revealing thing, and something that's really only become apparent in the last year or so, were those exercises on the morning of 9/11, the military exercises, where they were actually having feigning or make-believe hijackings of planes, and at least one or two instances, they were supposed to be crashed into the buildings. Now, then, of course, they were planting all these false images on the screens of the FAA and the NORAD,
right.
And nobody knew whether these were real or not. In fact, that article in Vanity Fair talks about, at one point in that morning, they were chasing 26 hijacked planes. And even Flight 11, which had crashed into the North Tower, somebody turned on the transponder, and apparently, maybe it was a ghost, maybe it was all feigned, but the plane was flying towards Washington, D.C., after it had crashed into the North Tower and everybody had been killed. And you can't, you know, be surprised that everybody was confused because somebody was intentionally confusing them. And you would think if there was hijacking and there's already one plane crashed into the North Tower, they'd discontinue the exercise, but they kept the exercise going so that nobody could figure out what was going on. And
that's
nobody's
right.
ever explained that.
And there seems to me to be only two possibilities. One is that the hijackers had a mole on the inside who told them when all these exercises would be taking place so that they could do their thing and have it masked by the exercises. The other is that the exercises were deliberately planned in order to mask the hijackings. Now, of course, there is, to be fair, possibly a third alternative, and that's just that it was massive bad luck that the hijackers chose that morning to do their thing when all of these unprecedented exercises were taking place. And that bad luck combined with massive incompetence led to our failure to protect the American people and our buildings. Of course, I tend not to believe in that much coincidence.
Well, I think one of the most telling things actually came from that book, Without Precedent, on page 160 of that. If you read this, they're talking about Donald Rumsfeld. And he was asking us why you weren't doing anything before the 911 attack. And his remark was, well, we were working on it. We'd been working on a plan to go after Al-Qaeda. And we'd been working on it very hard. And we finished it on the 10th of September, the day before the 911 attack. That's on page 160. Hey, we've got Mike calling. Let's see what Mike has to say. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan.
Have a quick question?
Yeah, for Dr. Bowman, surely some of the pilots, the interceptor pilots and others on 911, they must have pieced together what happened here, that they were basically bamboozled. Have you had a chance to talk to any of them to get feedback?
No, I haven't. I'd like to, but no, I haven't.
The thing is, Mike, if you're in the military and you talk and you say anything, your career is over.
That's right.
There was an officer over here at Monterey Language School who actually came forward and said, look, this has got to be an inside job. One of those hijackers was attending my school here in Monterey, the Naval Language School. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, I was just commenting about Lieutenant Colonel Butler, who actually came forward right after the 9/11 attack and said, this has got to be an inside job because one of the hijackers was going to my school. He was one of my students, one of these evil hijackers that on that morning. And, of course, that was the end of his military career, that's for sure. Anything else you'd like to say, Mike, before we – I guess Mike's already gone. Colonel, would you like to wrap up your thoughts for today?
Well, sure. Basically, I want people to understand that however much you despise conspiracy theories, you must understand that the government's official story is a conspiracy theory. A conspiracy is when two or more people plan to commit a crime. And certainly 19 hijackers and Osama or whoever else was helping Sheikh Khalid, that makes a conspiracy. And it's a rather complex conspiracy. When people say, we're conspiracy theorists, and they don't like conspiracy theories, what they're really saying is they don't like conspiracy theories which include people in our government, because they don't want to believe that anyone associated with our government could do anything that evil. But we already know that regardless of who was responsible for 9/11, our government, the Bush administration, was responsible for exploiting 9/11 and causing unnecessary, unconstitutional wars of aggression against Afghanistan and Iraq, resulting in the deaths of more Americans than died on 9/11 in the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and in Pennsylvania. And so there is evil, and we have to recognize that, and we have to allow for the possibility of the unthinkable.
And, of course, I think the big question is, well, then let's have a completely independent evaluation and investigation. And when the Bush administration is allowed to censor the 9/11 Commission report and the Joint Senate Intelligence Committee report, then they're not independent investigations, and we're not getting the truth. Colonel, thank you so very much for being with us. I really appreciate you being on, and I hope we can get you onto some of our other programs again. And we just got to keep hammering away at this, trying to get the American people to think.
Thank you very much, and over the next couple of years, I hope everyone will go to Bowman2008.com.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. And, of course, remember that website. It's Bowman2000, and right now, 2006.com, and Colonel Bowman's going to be running for Congress again in 2008. And what was so interesting is, even though he got no help from the Democratic Party where he was running, even though he only had $100,000 to spend, and many of the people who had run in that area before had, seven or eight or ten times that amount of money, why he still, got more votes than anybody else had in a traditionally Republican area. So I think it's important that we get people who really want to find out what happened that Tuesday morning. And first of all, let me suggest, ladies and gentlemen, however you feel about what I'm saying, please go to our website of RadioLiberty.com and pull down my August and September newsletters and read them through, and soon the October newsletter. That's RadioLiberty.com. There really are forces that work behind the scenes, and they are motivated by spiritual forces, but they have real organizations. They exist, I know, because I've been to their headquarters, at least to the Council on Foreign Relations, not once, but on several occasions, and spent weeks going through their secret records. And I will tell you that they originated from a secret society. And if you doubt that, you need to read the books written by Professor Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor. His book was Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, published in 1966, which was so revealing that somebody came in and purchased the publisher, Macmillan Company, and destroyed the plates to the first half of the book. And you say, that sort of thing couldn't happen. I would simply suggest you get the interview we have with Professor Quigley where he tells you that story. Then you can get that as part of the Secret Government 4-tape set, or you can get that as part of the Tragedy and Hope special, which is the book, 1,342 pages. You read it and you'll know more than most college professors. And believe me, Professor Quigley was one of the smartest historians we've ever had. He was very liberal. I don't agree with him, but I will tell you that I have learned more from reading his book than from going to college and minoring in history. You read his book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, and the interview with the Professor Quigley, and they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope many of you will read my newsletters August, September. And if you don't have them, why don't have access to the Internet, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the August newsletter. And we're writing a series of newsletters to tell you what really happened on 911 because we've got the final information. But you're going to have to wait a little bit longer before we get the final newsletter out. And we tell you exactly what happened that morning and how you can document that and then how you can discuss this intelligently. And listen to what Colonel Bowman said. Don't get off on what hit the Pentagon. Don't get off on, well, if the planes didn't hit the Twin Towers and what happened to the people that were in the planes. Don't let them mislead you. They have to defend their position. You don't have to defend yours. And there's no way that Building 7 came down simply because it wanted to come down. It was time for it to come down. It was a controlled demolition. And go to the Internet and type in Building 7, demolition or something of the sort. Building 7 video, that would be it. And you can actually watch the building come down over and over again. And you watch it a full time, you'll know what happened. And 3,000 Americans were killed. 3,000 Americans died, and 1,100 bodies have never been recovered. I wonder why. Well, please, of course, consider getting my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, an introduction to the forces that are at work here. You'll want to get Dr. Michael Kaufman's new DVD. It's entitled World Events and Prophecy. Very, very well done. You'll want to get, of course, the videos, they sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version, Millennium, the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and so much more. The Rape of the Soul, an excellent DVD about embedded art being used, of course, to corrupt the minds of our people. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty.